Hi friends, welcome to Spilling the Beans podcast, where we spill the beans on all things intuitive eating, health at every size, body acceptance, and gentle nutrition. I'm your host and registered dietitian, Amanda Lambrix, and you may know me as @spillingthebeans_nutrition on Instagram and Facebook. Go ahead, get comfortable, grab a snack, and let's get started spilling the beans. Hi everyone, I wanted to thank you for taking the time to join me for an episode today. It's been about 2 weeks since I've posted anything, and if you're listening to this as it's releasing on June 1st, then you also realize that the world currently is in turmoil. As we speak, the world is still mourning the loss of Minneapolis resident George Floyd, who, as I'm sure you've already heard, was murdered by police officers last week. And just a trigger warning, if you do have access to that full 10-minute video, just view with caution because it is pretty traumatizing to watch. And then not long before this, the lives of Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery were also taken far too soon. And the world is rightfully angry. I'm angry as a white woman, and I'm frustrated. And of course, this is all still taking place with the backdrop of a global pandemic. And I put off releasing an episode this last week because it really just, it didn't feel right. It felt tone deaf. I also didn't have the focus for it. It just didn't feel right. And to be perfectly honest, speaking about feeling your fullness, which is what I had planned on posting about last week, it just didn't really feel all that important for the time being. And I've also been taking the time to gather my thoughts and really do the best that I can to show the community support. So in this episode, I'm going to leave a link to a Google Doc that's been helpful for me. It's full of anti-racism resources that was compiled by Sophie Flicker and Allison Klein in May 2020 after all of the recent racist events that have occurred in the last couple of months and, of course, in the past years. So racism is an uncomfortable thing to talk about. You can probably hear it in my voice. I feel uncomfortable talking about this, but honestly, none of that matters because something needs to be said. I personally grew up in a small town in South Dakota that lacked diversity. I don't know if that's changed much since I graduated in 2010, but that's how it looked like when I lived in that small town. And I didn't truly experience diversity until I moved to Illinois in 2014. I would say even my college of South Dakota State University lacked a lot of diversity. While there was diversity, I can admit that I was not a person seeking out ways to diversify my life, if that makes sense. And none of that's any excuse for my ignorance. And I think there's this quote that says, when you know better, do better. And so I know better now, and I want to do better. And as Angela Davis says, in a racist society, it's not enough to be non-racist. You must be anti-racist, end quote. And from what I've gathered from listening to people of color this past week, to be anti-racist, you have to do the work. You can't just share posts on your feed without actually diving in, watching documentaries, watching and paying people of color for the education that they are giving you. And please, please, please do not go to accounts like Rachel Cargill's and ask her to give you resources, because there are resources out there and you're making the problem worse by asking people of color to do the work for you. So I'll help you out if you have no place to look. I'll include that Google Doc on here. I'll also share some things that I'm currently doing. Like I said, I'm by no means perfect, but I am trying to make an effort, and I'm trying not to load everything on all at once because I want this to be a slow burn and I don't want to peter out, if you will, and not continue to have this passion for helping people of color who do not have the same privileges that I do. So a couple of things that I've done over this last week. I purchased the book White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo. This is a book that I have been recommended numerous times, but I've never taken the time to actually read it. And so that ends today. It's downloaded on my Kindle. It's ready to go. I'll link that for you in the show notes too, if you want to purchase that. I will warn you, because of everything that's going on in the world, and thankfully people are wanting to put in the work, I do think that the paperback copy is currently sold out on Amazon. Amazon. But if you do have a Kindle, or you can install the Kindle app for free on your phone, you can also read the book right off of your phone. So that's an option. Another thing that I did was I donated to the Minnesota Freedom Fund and also to Black Lives Matter. And I also Venmo'd Black influencers who have been providing free resources to the public and providing a lot of what we call emotional labor. I wanted to make sure that they're being compensated at least a small amount for the labor that they're putting out there. And I've also specifically, to just name one influencer among many, I've been listening to Rachel Cargill. She's an incredible resource. She also has lectures online. If you Google her name, you'll find a ton of information from her, and she would be a great place to start and look at the resources that she's been sharing in there. But the most important thing here is that I want to center those voices of those who are marginalized. I notice even as I'm talking about my own experiences, I'm using the word I a lot, which is not the way this conversation should be going. I want to make sure, there I go again, I, that I'm centering the voices of the people who actually have these experiences, because often what you see is that people that look more like me will share these posts, and because they maybe have more followers, are going to get that attention, if you will. And I really want to do my part to help lift up those voices with those lived experiences. So this next week, from June 1st through the 7th, there's this movement on Instagram by jessicawilson.msrd. So her handle is at jessicawilson.msrd. I'll link to it in my show notes. And at Black Embodied. And the movement is called hashtag Amplify Melanated Voices. During this time, you're asked to only repost content from people of color and also mute white influencers as an effort to center the voices and the lived experiences of folks of color doing the work. So please go to these two accounts to learn more about the movement, as I'm sure I'm leaving some important information out, and they're the creators. So please get the information from them. In the midst of all this, I know some of you are struggling more than ever with disordered eating, negative body thoughts, and desires to go on a diet. And I think we're all getting a little antsy after being in quarantine since, oh gosh, the middle of March, I think it's been. And I want to still continue to also honor and offer help for your struggles, because I know, because our world is experiencing so much right now, that does not minimize the pain that you're feeling personally in your journey to food freedom. I still want to continue to honor and offer help for your struggles and continue to provide free podcast episodes. So while I may not be talking from my own personal standpoint this week, I will have these two episodes to help you if you need more help specifically on food freedom. With that said, this week we will have episodes 11 and 12, and that's because, admittedly, I let myself get a little behind on editing this last week and the week prior, and I hope that you can enjoy my solo episode today, and then you will have episode 12 with my special guest, Lisa Lombardini, who's going to be incredible in talking to you about principle 6. So for today's episode, we will discuss barriers to feeling your fullness, what fullness may look like for you, how to combat the clean plate mentality, which foods make you feel fuller than others, and how to create a more mindful eating experience. When talking about principle 5, feel your fullness, you might find yourself asking, okay, but how hard can it really be? However, much like we talked about in episode 8 with Honor Your Hunger, many people have lost a sense of what their hunger and fullness looks like for them. While maybe you were silencing your hunger, you might also never have fully understood what fullness looks like for you either. And can we really blame people for not paying attention to their fullness? Have you ever thought about how distracted we are on a daily basis? Distractions are a huge barrier to tuning into fullness. How many of you have ever eaten while watching TV, scrolling through your social media apps, texting, reading, working, driving, standing, and the list goes on? I imagine you answered yes to at least a couple of those scenarios. Now let me ask you this, were you particularly tuned in to the eating experience? It may be difficult for you to think back to the particular time, probably because you were distracted, But I can tell you that anytime I am eating something quickly while in the car, I can hardly tell you how the food tasted 10 minutes after the fact. It's just not a very mindful, serene environment. While some of you may have no problem with distracted eating, it's more than likely that most of us do. With that being said, the distractions serve as a barrier to feeling your fullness. Have you ever been watching a television show with a remote in one hand and your other hand in a bag of potato chips up to your elbow? When all of a sudden you realize you ate the entire thing and now you're feeling uncomfortably full. You can't see me, but I'm raising my hand on this one. People that know me know that I love a bag of salt and vinegar chips. Now, I want to make this clear. You're definitely not bad if this happens to you. There's no moral judgment here. But you may feel uncomfortable and out of touch with your fullness, and if you want to start identifying your fullness, then this episode is definitely for you. There are a number of signs that you may feel full after a meal, and you just may have never noticed them before. One of the most obvious signs of fullness is a sensation in your stomach, as you would expect. And this might range from slight distension to bloating. You might also notice your thoughts change. So when you're feeling ravenously hungry, or more popularly known as hangry, then you are probably obsessing over when you can eat next. As you start to eat, you notice that strong desire for food begin to diminish. Along with this, you may see a shift from irritability to feeling more relaxed. And if you found yourself feeling drowsy as a sign of hunger, now you might be feeling more energized and focused. Tracking your hunger and fullness together can help you get an idea of your body's own rhythm. You can utilize the same chart as described in our Honor Your Hunger episode, and I'll be sure to link this chart in your show notes so you have a good visual. As a refresher, the scale ranges from feeling completely empty on the one side of the spectrum to entirely stuffed, and there's all sorts of ranges in between. If you were tracking your hunger before and now you feel comfortable, you can go ahead and start tracking fullness as well. I will say a word of warning. If you start noticing that you're treating this like a hunger fullness diet, as we call it, then it's likely that you still have some work to do in dispelling diet mentality that's ingrained in you. And that's totally fine. That happens to the best of us. But in that case, I would suggest sticking with the first couple of principles until you feel more prepared for this principle, just so that you're not at risk of turning this into another diet. Once you start identifying what fullness looks like and if you have any patterns, we can then move on to discussing the Clean Plate Club. This probably sounds familiar to some of you. Did any of you ever hear this phrase growing up from your parents or maybe your grandparents? I can remember flashing my plate and declaring I'm a member of the Clean Plate Club as a kid. And before we dive into this subject, I want to say that there's absolutely nothing wrong with cleaning your plate. That is not what this is about, particularly if you're actively recovering from an eating disorder and your team has assigned an eating plan for you. This next part probably won't apply to you. This is because, much like we talked about with hunger, you likely have a ways to go before you're ready to start tracking your fullness, either physically or mentally. But if you've never heard the term Clean Plate Club, allow me to explain. Being a member means that you finish the food on your plate with no regard to how much is served, how you feel, and feeling disconnected from your surroundings. Of course, there are instances where you will clean your plate and you will feel completely satisfied and perhaps you were mindful. But typically when we're talking about the Clean Plate Club, it just means you cleaned your plate and that's all you're paying attention to. So instead of tuning into how you feel, the sole purpose is to finish your plate. And don't be so hard on yourself. Think back to your childhood. You might have been told as a kid, you can't have dessert unless you finish your plate or finish your food. There are people starving across the world. And while I'm definitely not a parent, I imagine these are all well-meaning remarks. In fact, I think I can confidently say these are well-meaning remarks. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm not the most patient person in the world, so I am not going to police your parenting at all. But in talking to parents, many will often tell me how they're worried that their kids are not getting the right nutrients or enough food. And I can empathize with that. Heck, I worry about if my dog is getting the right balance of nutrients in her dog food. The Intuitive Eating Workbook offers a simple assessment checklist to help you identify if you're a member of this club. So some of the scenarios might include, I grew up in a large family and meals were competitive. My mom would put all the food on the table, and if I didn't seize my servings, I lost out and there would be no food left for me. I grew up with a sense of food scarcity. I didn't know if there would be enough food in the table for me, and I didn't know if we would have the means to provide food. When I am served a whole food like a sandwich, I automatically eat the entire thing. I feel guilty if I don't eat all of my food. Those are just a couple of the varied examples of how you might fit into the Clean Plate Club, even if it's not the traditional example I mentioned of when your parents encourage you to be a member of the Clean Plate Club. Once you have a better understanding of your fullness, you can start to explore foods that have more staying power. This is where we can start to see the power of nutrition. And it's not that nutrition hasn't been powerful this entire intuitive eating journey, but initially we must put some of that aside to simply focus on unlearning what we've been told. When I think of foods that help keep you full longer, I think of all the macronutrients plus fiber. As a reminder, the macronutrients are protein, fats, and carbs. Fiber is a subcategory of carbs. It's the indigestible type we hear of helping our digestive regularity and blood cholesterol. I often recommend eating foods in a combination. So that means not just having carbs, not just having fats, not just having protein, but combining these foods. So let's take a snack, for example. I might suggest an apple with peanut butter. The apple is providing you with a complex carbohydrate and fiber. The peanut butter is providing fat and protein. If you just had the apple, you might find yourself hungry more quickly afterwards and searching for your next snack. On the flip side, be aware of foods that have less staying power. So some of these foods might be what you consider airy foods. So one thing that comes to my mind is a rice cake. I don't have anything against rice cakes, but on their own, I don't find them to do the trick for me personally. But I could add some banana slices and peanut butter to this to make it more satiating. Other foods that you may want to keep an eye out for due to their shorter lasting power include artificially sweetened foods like diet snacks and diet sodas, and also high bulk, low calorie foods like vegetables. It's not that these foods are off limits for you. I actually really do enjoy a nice ice cold Diet Coke now and again, but I just want to make sure that I'm not depending on this type of food or drink to fill me up. Finally, in this principle, take some time to imagine what an ideal eating experience could be like. For me, the quote-unquote perfect eating experience would be alone on a beach in Hawaii with a plate of fruit, cheese, and also a fruity cocktail. And obviously this isn't realistic, but a girl can dream. We've been in quarantine for a long time, y'all. But the elements that draw me to this fantasy is the calmness. Since I tend to be a more anxious person, I really value having my meals be more quiet and relaxing. I don't like to feel rushed or distracted because I often make myself feel like that with feeling anxious. So when I might ask myself how I can create this type of experience for at least one of my meals, I might consider closing my office door at lunch and playing some calm music. When I find myself eating quickly, I sometimes eat with chopsticks or my non-dominant hand, and this definitely helps slow me down and actually taste my food. Other times, even taking the time to eat at the table and plate my food in an aesthetically pleasing fashion also does the trick. Honestly, I'm a girl of simple pleasures when it comes to my food. As with the previous episodes, I wanted to make sure that I included journal prompts. Prompt 1, evaluate your eating environment for at least a day. Is your environment noisy and distracting? Are you frequently multitasking? Or is it calm and mindful? Prompt 2, tune into your fullness for at least a day this week. If you want to, you can also take the time to track your fullness on the scale. Do you notice any patterns? And prompt 3, what is your ideal eating environment? How can you start bringing elements of this into your meals or snacks on a daily basis? I hope this episode got you thinking about hunger differently, and as a recap, we discussed barriers to feeling your fullness, what fullness may look like for you, how to combat the clean plate mentality, which foods make you feel fuller than others, and how to create a more mindful eating experience. If you listen to this episode and follow along with these journal prompts, feel free to tag me on Instagram so I can also follow along. You can find me again at @spillingthebeans_nutrition. Also, while you're on your phone, be sure to take a minute to rate and review this episode on Apple. It helps get this episode up there so more people can see the podcast and listen and learn about intuitive eating and food freedom as well. It also means so much to me that you're being supportive if you do so. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you to Anchor for again hosting my podcast. Be sure to download and subscribe this podcast on Apple or your favorite streaming device. If you're looking for ways to get started on your own journey towards food freedom, head over to my website at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/course to get started on my self-paced course. If you need more individualized help, I also offer virtual coaching, and you can get in touch with me at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/virtual-coaching. To get show notes from this episode, you can go to spillingthebeansnutrition.com/podcast. And of course, if you're not already following me on Instagram or Facebook, I'm at spillingthebeans_nutrition. Our album art was photographed by my very own little cousin, Brittany Preller, and our theme song was written by Daniel James O'Connor and is used under the Creative Commons license.